Joining us now, she's on the LPGA Tour. She's a charlatan. Allison Emery joins us. Allison, what's going on this morning?
Hello, how are y'all?
We're doing good. The really important question that I'm going to get out of the way right off the bat is the Belk Bowl, Charlotte, North Carolina, Wake Forest, Texas A&M. Are you going and who's going to win?
I want to go so bad, but I had planned to go up to New York City for New Year's, and so my flight is on the exact day of the game. I can't go, but I wish I had waited to book the flight.
So you're going to be amongst the masses in Times Square?
No. Oh. I think I'm just going to go somewhere in the city, but not in Times Square.
Okay.
But who wins? I'm guessing as an alum, you have to say Wake.
Yes, I sure hope so.
Well, I mean, Jimbo Fisher with A&M, I mean, he's playing all these ACC teams. His bowl game is against an ACC team. One of his first games next year will be against Clemson, an ACC team. But it's going to be an interesting matchup, and go on Wake, man. Go ACC, right?
Yes. It would be great. I feel like we had a pretty good year, so it would just be icing on the cake.
All right, well, Allison, speaking of pretty good years – you had a pretty good year, and it ended on a high note, and I am critical of Q School because it just seems like a money grab and a tough way for people to find their way onto a tour with some sort of status. But in your case, it worked out. So tell us a little bit about how this season went on the Symetra Tour. You know, you guys did not have a stop here in Charlotte this year, so we missed having you guys here. Tell us how the season went for you and what led to your performance at Q School.
I feel like the season was pretty good this year. I feel like I definitely improved from the previous year. Just seeing the courses beforehand, going back to the same host family housing. So I had a lot of confidence going into Q School. And after the first round, I did not play very well. But I kept telling myself it's a long week. It's 5 rounds. Anything can happen. And I really drew back on the previous year because I felt like I had played well the first three or four days. And then all of a sudden I was tied with girls who didn't play good the first day. And I'm like, well, wait, I'm playing good. So I tried to just hang in there after the bad first round. And I played well from then on out and was able to get some conditional LPGA status.
Yeah, congratulations on that. I'm curious when you compare two seasons, last year and this year, what kinds of things do you do? Do you look at yourself statistically, money, all of those things, or is it basically just feeling better about your game? I mean, how do you judge? And when you went from last season to this season, surely there were things you were working on, and did those things pan out as improvements?
Yeah, I think you take a little bit of both, just internally how you're feeling if you feel like you're improving, and then also you look at the statistics. Because some years you feel like you're getting a lot better, but it's not showing in the statistics, but then it happens. This year, fortunately, I could see on paper that I was improving, and I felt like I was improving internally. So that was really nice when they both kind of pan out together. And I felt like I was in contention this year, which was nice. The previous year, I really wasn't. I was making cuts, but I wasn't near the top. And I had quite a few top 10s this year, which was nice. So next year, I feel like I can definitely win and contend every week.
Yeah, so what is the conditional status get you, and how does that allow you to set up your schedule for 2018?
Well, it actually makes it a little more difficult. Yeah. I kind of have a type A personality where I like to know where I'm going to be and can plan out the entire year.
Right.
But I don't think I'm really going to be able to do that this year. I think I will start on Symetra, and then if I get into any LPGA events, then probably would go and play. I'm hoping to start off well on Symetra, where then I feel like I have a little bit of a cushion, because it's just kind of difficult. You can take two avenues, and either way is right. You just have to figure out what's best for you.
So when you look at the schedule and the possibilities on the LPGA Tour schedule, that just, you know, they're talking about two new events out west and all this kind of stuff. If you're able to sort of cherry pick events where you think you might like to get into the field on the big tour, is it geography? Is it cost? Is it knowing a family nearby that you know you'll be comfortable with? I mean, what kinds of things go into the decisions that you're going to make with regard to when to take a shot at the LPGA Tour and when to stay on Symetra sort of week to week?
Yeah, I think It is a little difficult just because I haven't seen many of the courses, so I don't really know which one set up well for my game. And then obviously if Symetra is on the East Coast and I get in last minute to a tournament that's on the West Coast, I don't know if that's really smart to do. I think going into the week, if I don't get into the LPGA event on a Monday of that week, then I think I would just have to forego it and focus on the Symetra event. Because obviously I'd like to play in an LPGA event where I get a full practice round and I feel like I can really commit to it. But we'll just have to see. It's kind of up in the air. So I'll just have to go with the flow.
Well, I like your attitude because it seems like you're taking a longer view than just saying, oh, well, how flattering and awesome it would be to play in an LPGA event out there on the big tour. And you're thinking, okay, well, I want to get out there, play a lot of events so that the next year when I go back to play those events a second time, I have an advantage. It's just, you don't want to just have a cup of coffee on the big tour and be immediately sent back to Symetra. That's not what you're looking for. You're taking a much longer view of things. When you do that, what about your game needs a little bit more work? We used to talk about distance being the difference between the Symetra Tour or when it was the Duramat or whatever and the LPGA Tour. Distance isn't really a factor as much as it used to be. What are you looking at in your game that when you do get there, you can stay?
I think always, as cliche as it is to say, short game. I feel like my chipping needs to improve a little bit, and then also my wedges. Out there, every par five, they're hitting their wedges to 5 feet, and it's an automatic birdie. Whereas mine, maybe 10 feet. And so it's a little bit iffy. So definitely dialing in the wedges so I know whether it's a par four where I had to punch out and I'm trying to make par, or a par five where I'm hitting my third shot into the green, I know I can get it up and down.
What's the difference between success from 8 feet and 12 feet? I mean, I know what the result can be in terms of money and status and all that kind of stuff, but when you're practicing and you're trying to get better from 8 to 12 feet, what's the difference? Is it what are you looking at? What are you trying to get better at?
I mean, I think it's just good starting off with going around the world, putting a bunch of balls around the hole, and then from 4 feet, and really feel like you have confidence making all of those, and then continually going back. I think it's best to start off with the short putts and then you work on the long putts. But I would say 12 feet is still considered a shorter putt.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the key too, is, I mean, you know, when you talk about the short game, it seems like the players that are having the success, yeah, they're hitting a lot of fairways, they're hitting a lot of greens, they're making a lot of birdie putts, but it's saving the round at that pivotal point. If you got something going, you made a couple birdies in a row, and you hit a bad shot, and then, you know, next thing you know, you're making a double bogey that derails everything. I mean, that's really the key, and we always say that's what separates, you know, amateurs from professionals and some professionals from the great players on tour, isn't it?
Yes, definitely. And I think also, too, being mentally strong, where you focus over every single shot. And if you're not focused, then you back off and you regroup and start your routine over again. I feel like that's important too, with being professional, and the professionals on the LPGA Tour, is they're able to really dial in every single shot.
Well, we're talking to our good friend Allison Emery, who has sat in these very chairs and co-hosted the show and went to Wake Forest and Ardrey Kell and is now out on the Symetra Tour and has status on the LPGA Tour. And you know, I'm looking at the LPGA schedule in front of me, and I'm thinking about this long view you have. Are there any events that you've grown up watching that you really dream of being a part of?
Oh, well, obviously, it would be great to play in the U.S. Open. This year, I would have to go to a qualifier and qualify through the 36-hole qualifier. But the Hawaii event would be great, too.
What about Solheim Cup? I took my daughter out to Des Moines this year, and it was by far the best sporting event I've ever attended, and I've been to just about everything. Is the Solheim Cup something that you think about?
Oh, definitely. But I think you have to be out on the LPGA full time to really have a chance. So this year, I would probably not get in. But hopefully in the future, I will. They don't have one this year, actually.
Right.
So I hear that it's easier to get into the LPGA event when there's not a Solheim Cup. Because the year that there's a Solheim Cup, everybody wants to play in every tournament to try to get points to qualify.
Well, and you have a little bit of personal experience last season with Madeline Sagstrom out there on the Symetra Tour, and she got out to such a great fast start, and then actually the only cut she missed that year was here in Charlotte, and she managed to make some noise on the LPGA Tour and also play pretty well. I mean, and certainly represent Europe well in the Solheim Cup. Is she somebody you can look at and say, okay, if I can do the kinds of things that she did, everything will turn out just fine?
She had an amazing 2 years, and so it was really nice to see that it is possible, and you can move up to the LPGA and then do well your rookie year, because so many times the rookie year, girls fall back down to Symetra after. So it's really nice to see that girls are graduating the Symetra Tour and then succeeding on the LPGA.
I want to go back and talk a little bit more about the Q School experience, just to give people a feel for what you have to deal with down there. I mean, it's an interesting concept about, you know, having to go through the various stages. And now some players get to skip stages and whatnot. But anyway, when you get to the finals, I mean, what kind of pressure do you deal with? I mean, what's the mindset going into this? I mean, is it that you're trying to shoot the best score you can, or you're trying not to make mistakes? Where's that fine line in terms of wanting to go make birdies but not wanting to make double bogeys?
Yeah, well, I think it can be overwhelming if you put too much pressure on yourself, because it already is a stressful week. You're deciding your livelihood for the entire next year. But going into the week, I really try not to think about that. I try to take it one day at a time, one shot at a time. But it's difficult because it is such a long week and there's so much time in between the rounds. I think that the time you have away in between the rounds is just as important as during the round, what you're thinking about. You really can't get held up on score, I feel like, and every day is different. So you could have a bad day and then a good day and be right there in it still. And I think a lot of times, you know, near the end of the week, girls get tired. They think about, oh, well, if I shoot even par, I'm going to get my card or stuff like that. And so you really can't focus on the end game. You kind of have to just be in the moment and focus on what you're doing at that point in time.
Yeah, especially if you're kind of on the edge of the number. I mean, I've actually caddied for some people before in stages of PGA Tour and European Tour. And it's interesting that you come down to the final round and you really, the expectation is from an outsider standpoint, not necessarily from the player, but paying attention to the leaderboard, you kind of think that the cut line for the number either stays the same or gets one worse just because of all the pressure that everybody's under. So as a player, you know, how do you manage that expectation if you're that close? I mean, if you're outside looking in, you know you got to go low, but you may not have to go as low as you think you do.
Yeah, it's tough when you're out there. I don't know on the PGA with their Q School if they have a lot of scoreboards, but for ours, we don't have that many scoreboards, and they don't show you what the cut line is for conditional. And I think this year they did not have the cut line for your full card. They just had the leaders, so the top five or six girls playing. So you really didn't have an idea of where you were. So you kind of have to play a game in your head to figure out, okay, do I need to have three more birdies, or can I just try to coast in? It's tough. And last year I felt like I was completely out of it, and I ended up missing it by one shot. So you really just have no idea what the other players are doing.
Well, I mean, having lived through it now, do you think Q School is a fair tool to evaluate and reward players for, you know, what would be, you know, if you get right to the third stage, you play five rounds of golf versus an entire season on Symetra or on the Ladies European Tour or whatever. Is it a fair evaluation? I mean, it worked out for you this year, but is Q School what, you know, does it get what we intend it to get?
Yeah, I think it's tough. I'm not sure the exact statistics of how many girls stay on the tour if they got their card through Symetra versus Q School. I'm not really sure what that's at. I'm sure the LPGA is taking that into account. But I feel like Q School can be fair because it is five rounds and it is three stages. But you can have a really good week and then not play well the next year. But you can also have a good year on Symetra and then not play well the next year. So it's just kind of different, the two ways. But I think they're changing Q School into the Q Series, which would be 2 weeks. So that might be a little more fair, I guess you could say. But I feel like a lot of good players do well in Q School and then end up being fine the next year. So it just kind of depends on the year. And I think if the weather is bad at Q School, then you would get better players getting their card because it's just tougher conditions and everything. But they set up the courses pretty fairly. And I feel like most of the time, the better players end up getting through and getting their full card.
Well, yeah, and Mike Wan let the cat out of the bag with us last week that something in Q School might be in the Carolinas. So hopefully we don't have to see you there. Hopefully you get through in other avenues and don't have to worry about Q School again.
Yeah, that would be great.
Well, Allison, we always enjoy having you on, and we look forward to watching your name on leaderboards no matter what tour you're on, and I'm sure we'll catch up with you in 2018.
Sounds good. Thank you so much.